In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, it was Proper 14, we had a very nice message from our Lord Jesus Christ who said, don't worry. I remember that message and three different verbs he used to describe human worry to show us that he gets what we feel when he talked about worry and about flying off the handle and about fear, all those words, and he said, don't worry. Why not? Because you matter to God and you belong to Him, right? I think a lot of people wonder, do I fit in? What's the answer? Yes, in Jesus, you belong. You're part of the people of God. That's a good and wonderful message. We love to hear those things. It's a gospel of inclusion that in Christ you belong to the people of God. Last week, Proper 15, Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but division. There are many passages in the Bible where Jesus has hard words to share. Hard words, but true words. Where he said, not peace, but division, because in Christ you belong, but not everyone is in Christ. Right? You remember that message about how Jesus is the dividing point. So that's where we've been the last couple weeks. And this week, Jesus has a tough word again. I want us to catch where they are. Those are the last couple chapters we've looked at Luke chapter 13, verse 22, when Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he was making his way to Jerusalem. Where is he headed? Jerusalem. Why is he going there? To die. This is the last few months of the earthly life of our Savior. He's been with the disciples for 2.5 years. He's been teaching and preaching and healing, mostly good news, but some tough words, but it tells us he's headed to Jerusalem, but he's going to spend months doing it. He's going to meander around from towns to villages. Why is he meandering? To teach, for Jesus to teach them. Think of this. People have listened to, they've watched the ministry of Jesus for 2.5 years, and we all love the good news that in Christ we're saved, the gospel is free and for all. But some people listening between the lines, someone put two and two together and said this, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? Right? They've heard all that he's been saying. They've watched what he's done. Are only a few people going to be saved? What does Jesus say? Funny enough, he doesn't answer the question. Jesus often doesn't. It's a funny thing being a pastor. I love to read theology books. Jesus so seldom debates theology, especially if by that we mean speculative theology, abstract, nerdy, intellectual stuff, the ethereal stuff. Jesus seldom talks about that kind of theology. This guy is asking a theological question. How many people are saved? Theologian reads that and they start thinking about, well, there's the Calvinism answer, the Lutheranism answer, the neo-evangelical answer, all those answers, right? What does Jesus say? He says, you. Pay attention to yourself. This is the theme verse, Luke 13, 24. I want to really pull this verse apart, but I want you to hear it. Are only few going to be saved? Jesus' next words are, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. I'm not talking to everybody, I'm talking to us, everyone. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. What kind of door? Narrow. In our day, nobody wants to be called narrow-minded, right? Closed-minded, small-minded, judgmental, we hear. That's a bad thing. Narrow-minded means you've excluded people and thoughts. And we don't want to be narrow-minded in the bad sense, but we do have to face this fact. The truth is often narrow, isn't it? 2 plus 2 is 4. I don't like your answer. I'm going to have my own. That's the world we live in. It's not just math, by the way, it's grammar. I am, you are, he is. Grammar works like that. I hope it works like that. Some of us spent a lot of years studying Greek paradigms, right? We memorize those charts. Now we'd say, okay, Pastor, that's math and grammar. That's not the way life works. So I want to say this. In 2 weekends from now, I'm going to be doing a wedding in Washington, D.C. They're going to use these words, forsaking all others. Are those words serious? Is truth often narrow? Yes. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I want us to get this. That rejects some certain things, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the rest of the Bible continues to talk about this God, this particular God, this God with his history of activities, with his people, the narrative of salvation, all the things that he is, all the things that he's done. It's saying that there is a particular God throughout the Old Testament, right? It's saying, by the way, if this God is the real God, then it's not Baal, it's not Moloch, it's not Zeus. We have to say nowadays it's not Allah. Is truth particular? Yeah. No. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. But I want us to hear this too. That's the word narrow, but I want us to hear what's the word after narrow? There's a door. Right? It's narrow, it's particular, it's specific, but there's a door. I want to be very clear about this. What's a door? It's the way in. Exactly. The Bible did not say there's a holy God and he's built a 30-foot wall around himself that you'll never get over, does it? He says there's a narrow door, but you know what there is? There's a door. He says, come in. Come in, please. He invites us to come in. So you can get in, but how? Here's the tough words that Jesus says. Jesus says, many will try to get in, but not be able to. It's not just tough, it's almost frightening words. Some will try to get in and not be able to. When he says some will try it again, there's, of course, there's some people that don't even try. There's some people who don't care about spirituality. That's true lostness. But Jesus is saying there are ways to seek after God and to do it wrongly. What are they probably doing? They're probably relying on their works. People have said, and said at that time, people say it now, they often say, there is a God, I should be good. That's the simplest, most basic, in some ways almost childish theology. There is a God, you should behave yourself. You'll never get it, right? He says, many are going to try. And some people, by the way, if Baal and Moloch and Zeus are not the real God, the Bible is saying there's a God of the Bible. All the other gods are man-made, right? All the other gods are man-made. If you decide to worship your own God, if you decide to do it your own way, you won't make it. Well, that's kind of scary, Jesus. But he wants us to get this. God of the Old Testament, the God of the Bible, there's one true God. But in the New Testament, the promises of the old are fulfilled in one. Right? All that Old Testament history gets wrapped up into Jesus, the Savior. And one day Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. John 14, Jesus said what? I'm the way, right? I'm the truth. I'm the life. In John chapter 10, Jesus was talking about the people of God as sheep. You guys have heard many sermons about that. You know that's not especially flattering. But he says that we're sheep, and Jesus says, I'm the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. So make every effort to enter the narrow door. There is a door. The way has been provided. The way is Jesus. That's good news, right? Now, the text says, that's the narrow door. How's the verse begin? Make every effort. Some translations say strive. The Greek word is agonizo. Agonizo. You can hear it, right? The English word agonize comes from that. It's funny. We live in a day where there's the prosperity gospel, right? If you follow God, everything will go your way. If If you follow God, you'll always be rich and healthy. Is that true? It's not. That is a modern heresy, by the way. Nobody in the early centuries of the church would have ever thought to say that. Why not? The early centuries of the church were very hard on the Christians. If you said God wants us to prosper, they would have looked at you like, what are you talking about? That's an American doctrine. God wants us healthy and wealthy. But here's the weird thing. Most of us know to overtly reject the prosperity gospel. We sort of sneak back in there sometimes, don't we? We sort of think, whenever things don't go my way, we wonder, why is this happening to me? Salvation is free, and God's grace is rich and wonderful, right? And that's correct. Salvation is a free gift offered by God in Christ. What do you do to earn it? Nothing. What do you do to get it? You just receive. That's right. Now, salvation is free and rich, but what's it like to walk the walk? Right? That's a struggle, right? It's hard. That's why the Bible regularly, it talks about free grace, but then he says, make every effort, strive, agonize to enter. That verb is used in the New Testament only 7 times. One, the first one, by the way, our text in Luke 13, I want to read the next 6 just for us to get a feel for what the translators do. What does it mean to agonize, to work, to strain for salvation? John 18:36, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. Fight. 1 Corinthians 9:25, everyone who competes, that's the word, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. He's talking about Olympic athletes. How hard is it to become an Olympic athlete? How hard do you work? How hard do you govern everything you ingest, right? Colossians 1:29, to this end, I strenuously contend, there's the verb, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. By the way, don't forget, Christ works it in us, but we strenuously contend. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you. Agonizing, wrestling in prayer for you. 1 Timothy 6, 2 Timothy 4 are the last 2 times. They're parallel verses. 1 Timothy 6:12, he says to him, fight the good fight of the faith. Fight, that's agonize. Fight the good fight of the faith. Is life a fight? And often it is. In 2 Timothy 4, whenever you read 2 Timothy, I want you to remember that Paul was about to be executed. Within months, he'd be dead. And he says this, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. What does he mean? Make every effort to strive, to strain, to sweat, to push, to struggle. That's right. And then Jesus says, salvation is not to have a casual relationship with God. The Bible doesn't want to dwell on this, that some are lost, but it says it because it's true. And he says that the door will be shut and some will be outside. And what are they going to say? Lord, open to us. There's other parables of the same thing, the wise and the foolish virgins who've run out of faith. Let us in. I don't know you, he says. He says the same thing, very parallel text. Lord, open the door to us. He says, I don't know who you are or where you come from. And I want you to hear this, important words. They say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. What he's letting us know is that there's a lot of people out there that are going to say, but I live in America. There's a Christian church every second block. Is that salvation? It isn't. There's a lot of people who are hardly ever in the house of the Lord, but I'm a pastor, and they sometimes say to me, oh, I was at that church for a wedding. It's beautiful. Is that salvation? The de-churched regularly say to me, my parents built that church. Jesus would say, but where are you, right? Where are you? Salvation is not that I was born in America and I'm a Christian nation and there's a church every few blocks. I've heard of that church. That's not salvation. I don't want to end there because Jesus doesn't. I want us to get this. A couple things about the church. One is this, the universality of the church. I love this. He says some are going to be left out, but they're going to look and they're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you know who they're going to be having lunch with? It says they're going to be people from the east and the west and the north and the south. The man asked Jesus, are there only a few saved? Did Jesus answer the question? He does not. There are texts that make it seem like it's a few. Narrow is the door. Narrow is the path to life. Broad is the path to destruction. And so that seems like it's few. On the other hand, where do the people come from who are saved? From east and west, from north and south. That Old Testament lesson you just heard that Frank read for us, Isaiah 66. We think, oh, the Old Testament's about Israel. Isaiah 66 said, I'm going to bring nations from all around the globe. Did you hear it? That's a wonderful text, Isaiah 66. I'm going to bring people from everywhere. God actually says in that text, I'm going to send messengers out to Tarshish and the distant shores, even to South Carolina. Christianity is the most widespread religion on earth. Look that up online. You can find these maps that color the world by what's the dominant religion. Most of the religions of the world are kind of local. Christianity is across the globe. That prophecy is fulfilled. That's the first thing about the church, the universality of the church. The second thing is a wonderful message of Scripture. It says that people will come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they will take their places at the feast of the kingdom of God. That's good news. At the feast of the kingdom of God. In the Bible, eating together is a wonderful thing. To share a meal together is fellowship. To share a meal together is belonging, right? And can I say, I want to say this. Food is good. Did everybody know this? Isn't food wonderful? I want to say, food is good, but in the South, our food is better. Right? Can I say that? It just is. But isn't it wonderful to have a meal and to enjoy? How many are saved? I think the message is lots. What do? They feast with the Lord and with one another. Are only a few going to be saved? What's Jesus say? Make sure you get in. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God which passes all human understanding be with us. In Christ's name, amen.